This is Fantasy Sports Today. This is Chris Meany. I'm Ashley Docking, and we're glad that you guys could join us on this Friday afternoon. We're live.
Friday live.
From Fantasy Sports Network in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good.
How are you feeling? Better?
Yes, much better. These bright lights, like there's some new lights up here, I feel.
They are. I think they replaced them. Make us look our best. You look well, and I'm glad to have you back. It was tough without you yesterday.
You did a good job. I watched.
Yeah, the reviews were in, and they were fantastic. So you better perform today, because your job's on the line.
I'm going to have to bring it.
We're going to start with the game last night, Packers and Bears. What a snooze fest. At the beginning of it was a tough game to watch. Things opened up a little bit towards the end of the game, and big game for Davante Adams, who was in concussion protocol not too long ago, and then Ty Montgomery. He didn't disappoint coming out of the backfield.
A little bit of a surprise. Ashley, we talked about Davante Adams a couple times. Yeah. I know last week we did. Just a guy who's just kind of touchdown dependent, but he has been getting touchdowns, and yesterday a couple, and I just had to really rush to my rankings on Fantasy Pros to get him in there like 20 minutes before the game, because like he was a bit of a surprise to even play this football game, and just a disappointing game from Jordy Nelson. But Davante Adams, 13 receptions, 14 was a Packers record. This guy was all over the place, so I think a lot of people are going to scramble to get him. I think he's a little bit inconsistent, but he does, in my opinion, make for a good buy-in replacement and a flex option, certainly in deep leagues. Not so much 10-mans, but 12 and 14s. I think he's startable because what we saw last night was definitely encouraging from Rodgers. Not from the get-go, but later on he seemed to find himself, and he at least topped that 300 yards that he had topped in like over a year. So
yeah.
Good on Rodgers and Green Bay to finally get rolling, but still some concerns with that offense, especially Jordy Nelson.
The panel was on them big time during the halftime report, and they kept showing vis of the receivers unable to get open, and even one of Davante Adams' touchdown, he was smothered in coverage, and he just came up with a good grab. Good on him. That's what good football players do, but that's why it's just been so tough for Rodgers this year. There's been no separation, and it's been tough for him to make plays.
I know. That's what Adam Azer said, too, the other day. Yeah. It's like they want to give Rodgers time in the pocket because they don't want him to move around, and they're comfortable. Defenses are comfortable with him just having time, and yeah, his wide receivers cannot get open, and that's certainly a concern. I saw it a lot in the first half, and I've seen it all year long.
Ty Montgomery was great.
He was.
10 of 13 for 66 yards. Passing and then 60 yards rushing.
Stuffed when they called a timeout and go for it on the 5, which was a confusing play.
Just for a wide receiver, he played running back, sure, but you're so used to a certain position. And we heard it from Julian Edelman's dad, oddly enough, when he was touted to play some quarterback for the Patriots at one point. And they're like, the body type for the position is so different. And it's the same thing from wide receivers to running backs. But Ty Montgomery doing a good job. Eddie Lacy on the IR, and Montgomery could be the starter for week 8 again against the Falcons.
Jackson got hurt.
Yeah.
So that's rough. I think Niall Davis is actually going to have a role in this offense. I do honestly believe that. Lacy is, be lucky if he comes back. I think week 15 is when he's eligible, but who knows if he can even get back on the football field. And then James Starks, could he come back in a few weeks, but he's nothing special either. So Green Bay needs a run game, but Montgomery is nice going forward, certainly. A nice PPR play, a nice flex guy. I mean, you can play him in some spots as an RB in some leagues. I know CBS you can't, but some leagues you will be able to plug him in as an
RB. Your running back?
So, we're going to talk later on about some of these running back situations that are not great. So
You could do worse than Ty Montgomery.
You could be Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer, broken left arm, his non-throwing arm. So that bodes well for himself going forward. But it's just so disappointing. This guy was playing potentially the best football of his career.
Yeah, absolutely. On a
four
roll.
Games of 300 yards or more, 6 touchdowns over 4 weeks, no interceptions. Then he goes down, gets hurt, broken arm. Matt Barkley comes in, throws 2 picks on 15 attempts. Needless to say, it's a big downgrade for every single person in
Meredith couldn't do anything.
Cameron Meredith, who we were talking about, Royal, forget about it. Alshon Jeffrey was already kind of not even biggest target in that offense. And at least, though, for Jay Cutler, when he comes back, potentially after their bye week in week 9, he'll be the starter, when there was some conversation that he would take a back seat to Brian Hoyer because he had been playing so well.
Yeah, so that's good news for Hoyer and good news for people who own Alshon and Meredith, I guess, because if somebody told me that Matt Barkley would be the quarterback for the rest of the season, I'd probably trade Alshon Jeffrey for a couple footballs at this point, because like Matt Barkley is not good, and we saw that yesterday. So
they have the Vikings next week.
It's not a great situation. I don't really know what to tell people, Alshon Jeffrey owners or Meredith. I think
good
Meredith
luck.
I mean, you picked him up off the waiver wire. Alshon Jeffrey, you spent a big high pick on him. So it's tough news. Good news if Cutler can get back in. I think good news for Jeffrey and Meredith, even though Jeffrey was invisible with Cutler as well.
Good news for NBA fans. NBA is back.
Yes, just days away.
Days away. So we're going to do some rankings. We're going to look at Chris's rankings. We have the top 10 coming up on a board for you right here. And Chris, some of the people that we want to talk about, one of the people that I actually really want to talk about, Carl Anthony Towns, he's ranked fifth for you.
Yes.
I believe, behind some heavy hitters, Westbrook, Curry, Harden, KD, then Davis at six. And that's the most interesting conversation I think that's happening around people's rankings now. Just a few days ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, Anthony Davis was above Carl Anthony Towns, hurt his ankle. Now everyone's saying that he's injury prone. He's going to be a risk to draft so high. But what's your take on this?
Yeah, you know what? I have him higher than what I've seen from a lot of people on Fantasy Pros. He's like outside the top 10. ESPN rankings, CBS rankings. We have sleepers. We have busts. We have all that stuff on our ticker. There's all kinds of good guys ranking on rotoexperts.com you can check out. But yeah, we're finally touching on base. To me, he's a little bit of a concern. I would much rather Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, did you see what he did? It's just in preseason the other day. 25 points on 9 shots. It was only in the first half. He had 14 double-doubles in a row. That was the longest streak in the NBA. He had the third most double-doubles in the NBA last season. This is just a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's unbelievable. I mean, 17 for 17 from the line in that game. And if you can go back to 1963, only 11 centers have done that. So he's not going to hurt your free throw percentage either, like most centers do, like most bigs do. So,
yeah.
I mean, 18, 10, and 2. He averages almost two blocks a game, 54% from the field. He can chip in. You see only 0.4 threes, but he can chip in from three. He's just a phenomenal player, and he's only going to get better.
And we've seen Tibbs not afraid to ride his guys.
Exactly.
And that's one of the knocks against him as a coach, is that he really just run people down into the ground when he was coach of the Bulls. But for someone who's young and spry like Carl Anthony Towns, that's fine.
And Davis is really, really fragile.
He is.
So fragile.
And he's just, he's done a lot of work.
If somebody told me he was going to play 82 games, like, that's why I have him at six.
Would you laugh? Would you?
I probably would chuckle a little bit. But I mean, we want to see him play that, but it's unfortunate.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes, the Greek freak.
I love him. I'm so high on him this year, especially if he's going to be getting time at point guard. We saw his assist average absolutely skyrocket after the All-Star break, and I expect more of that from him this year. He's eligible in a couple positions, which makes him extremely valuable.
Absolutely. Point guard, shooting guard, small forward, post All-Star break, and that's what you really have to look. You see the board there, and you see the numbers, but listen to this post All-Star break. 18.8 points per game, 7.2 assists, 8.6 boards, shooting over 50% from the field, 2 blocks per game. Just chipping in all over the place, a steal and a half per game, and that's why I've moved him ahead of somebody like Chris Paul. I'd much rather the upside, the position eligibility. Paul's been hurt the past couple seasons, and I just like where the direction's going with the Greek freak. Get on board this guy. He touches every single category.
And we will continue to talk NBA throughout the entire season, and make sure you check out Chris's rankings. Where can they find them, dear?
RotoExperts.com.
RotoExperts.com. We're coming back. We're talking NFL.
Yes.
Because
we should.
There's a lot of problems, especially when you talk about backfield. So we'll be back after this. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The NBA season is just around the corner. We were just talking Chris's rankings before the break, and you know what? We didn't get into it quite enough, so we're going to continue. Let's take a look at his rankings 11 to 20, and of particular interest to a lot of people, and a particular, people are undecided about him. There's two sides to the story, is John Wall coming off two knee surgeries after a career year. Chris, you have him at 15. I've seen him a lot lower, though, in some drafts, a value, as we like to call him.
Yeah, this might be a little bit unfair. I have this man crush for Hassan Whiteside. He's pretty good.
I love Hassan Whiteside. I love you having him up there.
He's a little bit injury prone, but John Wall coming off an injury, and I think that's why, actually, a lot of people are discouraged about Wall. His minutes are just getting up, and I don't think there's any reason to be discouraged about him. And when looking deeper into his numbers, he's coming off career highs in basically
everything.
A little bit surprising. Career highs in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and what I liked the most about it is that he was never, to me, he wasn't, like, he's a guy that you can draft and you can get assists. He wasn't a guy that gets you those 30-point games often because he never hit a lot of threes, but you see last year, 1.5 threes per game. That, again, a career high for him, and just a career high in three attempts, 4.3 per game. So I think that he's starting to develop an outside shot. He's starting to just get into his prime a little bit, because, you know, he's pretty young when he came into the NBA, yep. and he's just progressing each and every single season. So where he's going in drafts is a bit of a discount, and you can get him. So I guess it all depends on how you start your draft. If you start your draft with a big, then you want to get John Wall and get yourself some assists if you can do that. If you start yourself with a draft where you get a guard, maybe you don't want to go
maybe
that way.
Maybe you want to go Hassan Whiteside.
Maybe you want to go Hassan Whiteside. So there's definitely some value to be had draft day for John Wall.
The thing with him is that he's someone that's going to touch all the categories. He's not going to absolutely beast in all of the categories right. like someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo or Hassan Whiteside, like we've talked about. This guy's going to probably average 3 or 4 yeah. blocks every single yeah. game, no problem. Yeah. But Wall, 2 steals, as you mentioned, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, and double-doubles 12 of his last 13 games. However, if Bradley Beal can't stay healthy, I think that's a knock on Wall, because he missed a month in February, middle of February, or January, excuse me, to the middle of February, and then a couple 3-game stretches every month or so with various injuries. So that's a concern.
It's a big-time concern, yeah. and it's extremely hard to keep track of all the time missed from Bradley Beal, yeah. because this guy's always hurt, and that's going to be a factor. You're right. If there's no Bradley Beal, the assist numbers probably go down, maybe the points, but he's probably rushing it. The field goal percentage goes down a little bit,
sure.
pushing too much. So, yeah, a healthy Bradley Beal is very important for that team.
All right, enough about basketball.
Enough about basketball.
We promised some football. So we get Chris Harris joining us now from harrisfootball.com to talk about a lot of confusing running back situations, what seems to be the theme of the 2016 season. Hello, sir. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, anytime. Let's start in Buffalo, because yesterday we thought that LeSean McCoy, Chris, was ruled out of the football game yeah. in Miami this weekend. Apparently, he's practicing. Not in full, but he's running some routes, stretching on the sidelines. Everybody was in a rush to pick up Mike Gillisley and start him. What's your take on this?
I don't know how you could have a take, really. I mean, we don't know. It's going to wind up being a handcuff-type situation if you have Gillisley. I think he's usable as a pretty good option. Obviously, Shady would be a top-5 option. He's been phenomenal, and if he's active, I don't care what people say about the potential limited usage. I'm willing to take the chance because he's that good when he's good. But if he winds up being inactive, I'm okay using Gillisley. He's in my top 20 among running backs right now. You can find those ranks on harrisfootball.com, and I think I might have him 15 or something like that, and I think he's not as good a player as Shady, but pretty decent with a good opportunity. I wouldn't expect Reggie Bush to get a ton of work, and my opinion of Gillisley on tape is he kind of looks a lot like Shady, and they both have the 5 at the end of their number there, but my feeling is a little bit more of a power back, a little less of a shifty guy, and it's a decent matchup against Miami. I think I would feel okay about using him.
So if LeSean McCoy played, would you be okay with starting Gillisley as a flex? I know you just said that if LeSean McCoy plays, you don't expect him to be limited, but how do you feel about that option?
The thing is, I don't know if I don't expect him to be limited. I just don't know. And I don't feel like I would probably play Gillisley if McCoy is active, unless I was in a really deep hole, if I was in a deep situation. I don't love the idea of, hey, let's corner the market on Bills running backs, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like, I probably would want to diversify my risk. Maybe if they were playing against, I don't know, the Colts or the Saints, a run defense that I thought was truly execrable, I guess you might say, then I might feel okay about cornering the market, but probably not. Probably I'm going to use McCoy and not Gillisley.
Yeah, that's a tough situation to double down on, yeah. to say the least. And another tough situation, Sean Drawn, Mike Davis. I mean, it's one thing to have a running back by committee like they do in Oakland, I guess, for the Raiders, where yeah. there are viable options. Jalen Richard, yeah. Washington, both of those guys. You know, you've seen some stuff from them that you can get excited about, but what's going on here? Are you buying in on either one of these guys, Drawn or Davis?
No, probably not. So we know what the workload was like when Carlos Hyde was hurt against Buffalo. It was much more Mike Davis. It was, I think, maybe 25 or 26 snaps compared to 5 or 6 snaps for Sean Drawn. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. First of all, the key play of that game was a 4th-and-1 about Buffalo's 40-yard line, end of the third quarter. Carlos Hyde's hurt. Mike Davis is in. Let's win some momentum here, kid. And he gets stuffed, and the game pretty much goes downhill from there. And then Sean Drawn, I've seen him be okay in the past. I don't expect either one of those players to be particularly great, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't understand the workload well enough. It feels like when you have 2 running backs, you have 0, especially when the 49ers. I won't be surprised if one of them winds up being okay. However, I don't know which one, and I don't think I'd feel okay about using either. And let's just say, if we're talking about not cornering the market on Bill running backs, let's not corner the market on 49.
Yeah, I was just going to say, your crystal ball is a little foggy when it comes to that situation. You can't really read it.
Well, Chris, we have checked out your rankings, and somebody that you do have kind of high in your RB rankings is Zach Zenner, and I'm big on this guy, too. I just want to know your take going forward, not just this week, because it seems like a good matchup against Washington. They've allowed the seven rushing touchdowns. It's third most in football, giving up the eighth most fantasy points to running backs. Zach Zenner, 7-for-9 against Philadelphia, not great, but 14-for-58 against LA. He does have four catches in the last 2 weeks. There's some issues in this backfield as well. What do you expect from him this week and going forward?
Well, you get truth in advertising from Zach Zenner. He kind of is exactly what he is. He's a power back, a straight head guy. One cut and go. You don't want him dancing. You don't want him cutting to the outside. My rank of him right now, I think it might still be outside the top 30 running backs, but it's definitely based on the idea that neither Theo Riddick nor Dwayne Washington will play against Washington. It's starting to feel a little more like Washington will suit up against Washington. How could it be any other way? But in that case, I'm probably not using Zenner. I'd be more likely to use Washington. And I'll be honest, I would probably put Washington higher than I have Zenner right now. I think Zenner has showed enough sort of power chops that he could be an okay option near the goal line. I think he can catch it a little bit, but probably more a fullback than a halfback. And so, longer term, I don't expect he's a huge fantasy factor, I have to say. Theo Riddick is the one I want to own there most. I'm not exactly sure what his injury even is. Have you guys noticed that the Lions and the Bears have sort of turned into the Patriots West? We're not getting a lot of good injury information from those guys now. And so Zenner for me is sort of an episode of last resort if both Washington and Riddick are inactive.
Yeah, everybody's undisclosed these days.
We have about 30 seconds left, but I need to get your take on Drew Brees, because I will say this seems like a contrarian pick for you to have him ranked so high. Sure, 465 yards, four touchdowns against the Panthers, but that's at home. And on the road, his stats seem to line up with Antonio Brown without Ben Roethlisberger kind of stats, almost cut in half on the road against KC. Why do you like him?
He's Drew Brees. I'm not sitting Drew Brees ever. I got him in a couple leagues. I ain't not using him. I get it. He's certainly, I don't really love home road splits in general. I think often they turn out to be kind of nonsense and statistical noise that gets weeded out year after year. I remember when Matt Ryan could only play at home. But actually, I kind of agree with you that Brees scares me much more on the road. And yet, I'm still going to use him because he's going to, if they're down, they're going to throw it 50 times and fine. Maybe it doesn't go as perfectly as it does in the dome, but I would hate to have him on my bench and miss out.
Absolutely.
We appreciate your time. We love it. Drew Brees, he's awesome.
HarrisFootball.com.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, see you later.
Good luck with your plays this week.
Yeah, you know, he mentions those splits, but three total touchdowns, two interceptions in two road games for Drew Brees against the Giants and against the Chargers. It says a lot.
It does. Arrowhead's a tough place to play. Yeah. If anybody could do it, it could be Brees.
We're looking forward to see what Raymond Summerlin has to say about his sits and starts for Week 7. That's coming up next, Fantasy Sports Today. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Football, 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 Week 7. And I know a lot of people have problems when you have guys on your bench and you've been riddled with injuries and you have choices between maybe second and third tier guys. Who do you start? Who do you sit? Well, that's what Raymond Summerlin's here for, to figure this all out for us. Hello, sir. How's it going?
Very well. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing good. Welcome to Fantasy. As Ashley said, maybe not just buy and replacements, but DFS as well. Let's start with the quarterback position. Ray, we did this before. Starts and sits, likes, dislikes, who you like and who you dislike and at the quarterback position this week.
Well, it's tough because I have two quarterbacks I really like, so I want to mention both. So Kirk Cousins is the one I'm not going to talk about, so that's the one who'll probably do well. But Andy Dalton is another one that I like. He gets the Browns this week. The Browns have been very, very bad against quarterbacks. They've given up at least three touchdowns in four straight games, including to Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota. So not the best competition. They're giving up a touchdown every 13.3 pass attempts. Dalton gets back Tyler Eifert this week. I think he's going to throw multiple touchdowns. I like him quite a bit.
What about someone that you're not necessarily targeting, maybe fading someone that a lot of people are looking towards, but you're not so high on?
I think people are going to be high on Derek Carr, and I'm not really there. He didn't play well in the second half last week. It was kind of a weird game with the weather. He's been up and down. He's thrown for only one touchdown in three of his six games. And the Jaguars have been surprisingly good on defense. They had the one game against the Chargers, but other than that, they've been very good. They held Joe Flacco and Brian Hoyer to zero touchdowns. I think that the Jaguars' pass defense is better than people think. I think Jalen Ramsey is a budding star, and he's going to give Amari Cooper a lot of trouble. So I think that Derek Carr are is someone that you might have better options on the bench or on the wire this week.
It's so funny. You never would have thought that you'd be saying holding Brian Hoyer to no touchdowns was a claim to fame, but the guy goes 302, 302 for three consecutive games. So it is something to definitely note. For the running back position, are you more concerned about volume or touchdowns? What do you key in on?
I key in on volume because I think that that's more predictable from week to week. Touchdowns are fluky even for the best players. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I don't believe, has scored a touchdown yet this year, which is crazy. So even for the best players, touchdowns are fluky. So I'm going to go with volume. And when you're looking at this week, you're looking at a guy like Melvin Gordon, who may not get the same volume. Even a game that has a high over-under against the Falcons, he might not get the carries that he's looking for simply because they're going to be in negative game scripts away from home against a good offense. So I think that Gordon is someone that's probably going to be overvalued this week. And kind of on the flip side of that, if you're looking for volume, Jaquizz Rodgers is going to get as much as he can handle on the road in San Francisco. They gave him 35 touches before the bye last week. And then he turned him into a good game. Doug Martin's still out. And the 49ers, here's some stats of the 49ers. They've given up at least 100 yards and five straight to a running back. They've given up at least 20 fantasy points to a running back in four straight. And they've given up 30 fantasy points in two straight. This is just a prime matchup. And like you said, the volume's going to be there. So I like Rodgers quite a bit this week.
Raymond, let's move over to wide receivers. I love the Ramsey thing on Cooper because, that could be an opportunity to just jump on Crabtree. How do you feel about New Orleans in Kansas City, Drew Brees, Cooks? How do you feel about that whole wide receiver core this week?
Well, it's a situation I'm not going to touch. I mean, the road splits, it's happened too much now to just take it and say that it doesn't matter. The road splits for New Orleans are real. The road splits for Brandon Cooks are real. He's been a top 24 scorer in just three of his past 15 games on the road. So if you're looking at Brandon Cooks, it's not there. Michael Thomas has a bad matchup. He's going to see a lot of Marcus Peters. Maybe Willie Snead gets over. He does have the best matchup against Steven Nelson, but it's not a good spot for Brandon Cooks. It's not a good spot for that entire offense, and I'm going to be fading it for sure. And then on the other side, this one, you're going to have to kind of play the injury game this week with DeSean Jackson and hope that he plays. I think he's going to. Someone is going to have a lot of success in Washington catching the ball. It's not going to be Jordan Reed. It doesn't look like he's going to play. So it's either going to be DeSean Jackson, maybe Vernon Davis, Pierre Garçon. I'm going to take a bet on DeSean Jackson, who had 9 targets last week. I think his floor is maybe higher than we think with Reed out. And so I'm interested in Jackson if he plays this week for sure.
Lions giving up big plays too.
I'm assuming that means we're going to sit Colby Fleener since we're off the whole Saints offense. But there's an interesting situation in San Diego. You have Antonio Gates that's come back, but Hunter Henry has scored 2 touchdowns since Gates has been back. We have about 30 seconds. Which one of these guys are you plugging in this week?
Hunter Henry, because he's the one playing the snaps, and Antonio Gates has admitted he's not healthy, and the Falcons are absolutely terrible against tight ends. So I'll go with Hunter Henry.
That seems pretty decisive. Quick question, what's your favorite song to play? I see guitars behind you.
Everlong by Foo Fighters, because I'm basic.
Nice. Next time we'll have to get you to play that for us.
All right, thanks.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Raymond. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Sounds good.
Good luck this week. Yeah, man. And Hunter Henry could have a week and a half. The Falcons, 5 touchdowns,
yes.
4th worst in the league and 2nd most yards to tight ends.
Hunter Henry is awesome.
Hunter Henry's on my
He's
team.
He's great. I actually drafted Gates and was able to pick up Henry in like week 2. I'm reaping the benefits.
Me too, buddy. Great minds. Oh, I should have left you hanging from
you
that
should've.
Picture. We'll see you
have
guys.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.